Welcome to the Days Grim.
Welcome to the Days Grim, everybody. I'm Brian.
I'm Thomas.
I am Corey, the Wombat.
The Wombat. I love the incorporation. I thank you for that nickname. That's the best nickname you've had since we've started this whole
Corey. I'm not happy about it.
I also don't appreciate a gentleman that gives himself a nickname.
Every single time?
Can we talk about it? No. Just like the guy that's like, well, like, nobody gave me a cool nickname growing up, so, like, now I gotta
I call myself Ace.
I call myself Gunner.
Yeah. Like, they call me Lone Wolf.
You're not gunning nobody, bro. Chill.
Tonto, man.
Yeah, dude. So, anyways.
Well, joining us today in the studio is local tattoo artist, local custom shoe designer or painter. I don't really know what you would call that.
We're gonna figure it out today.
Custom rug maker, Cody Thurman.
I was going to introduce myself as Cody the Wombat, but I feel like...
It's been stolen.
Yeah.
It's two times now that I have offended this man. Two times.
Copyrighted.
One was my name. And one was the nickname. I don't know how much further I can go after this.
Copyrighted by Corey himself. Corey the Wombat, I'm excited about having Mr. Thurman in here today. So
I appreciate it.
We start every episode off with the death of the week to show our guests that their day could be so much more grim. Like, you know, like something can happen in the blink of an eye and it's just all over.
Let's hear what you got.
All right. So this week is death of the week brought to you by Corey
the Wombat. So this week's death of the week, Edward Harrison was playing golf in Washington State in 1951 when his driver snapped and the shaft lodged into his groin. He staggered about 100 yards before bleeding to death.
So this man was golfing and his club broke.
Yeah, and it went into
his groin.
His bad place.
His bad place.
It killed him.
He walked 100 yards.
So,
and then he died.
A football field.
Jeez.
And just leaving
the
trail.
Just out leisurely, you know, playing, you know, just doing the back nine.
Yeah. I wonder if the next golfer up used the blood trails like the hole to be like, yo, the Tilly over here.
Or... hold on. So can we be more clear? Did he get stabbed in the pecker? Is that what's happening here?
In the groin.
It's not disclosed exactly in the groin he was stabbed, but I'm pretty sure it was probably in his peter.
So we're not sold 100% on the fact that it was like wiener involved.
I mean, we're not sold on it, but I'm not.
Let's just not rule it out. We're going to,
That's what I was picturing. I felt like that would make it a little bit more
right.
Grim.
Just holding it.
Yeah. I mean, it's still pretty grim. So
If you died from a thigh puncture, I don't think I'd, you know, have that, it would have that same impact.
Yeah. Just punctured my inner thigh
and
bled out. Well,
see, he could have got more taint, though.
Just ripped a sack?
Yeah. So, like, if you
bled
hit
out
taint,
from shredded
if
sack.
You hit taint.
Shredded sack.
It's like shredded lettuce, but just shredded sack.
Like a shredded sack.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. I want to know if the pecker was involved. We're gonna have to dig deeper on that, and we'll come back with a breaking news update next week.
He says that every time, and we never do.
I follow up almost never.
No.
So never do I follow up.
So Cody, you from Evansville, right?
Yeah, I was born here. Yep.
Yep. And did you move away for a period of time?
I lived. Kind of switch back between here and Charlotte, North Carolina. I've been back in Evansville for about 5 years now.
Yeah, what did you do out in Charlotte?
I was like a career bartender. It wasn't a lavish lifestyle.
Good old mixing drinks.
Yeah.
So what? When would you say you started like really digging into art? Was it like as a kid or?
I feel like that's something I always did as a kid. Since like the second grade is when I really remember starting to draw and try to draw specific things. So
yeah, I drew a little bit when I was a kid, and then I got out of the game. I did it for like up until fourth grade, and then I just got busy trying to learn how to read.
I think I still you're still not very good at that.
I know.
Yeah, no, I honestly did. I started drawing as a kid, and actually, one of the first things I ever drew was the Limp Bizkit's cover art. I redrew it off the CD that I had bought when I was like 12.
Oh, God,
it was the one with the guy in the jacket, and there was like a dark picture.
You had it in your Toronto Raptors binder.
Yeah. I was really proud of it.
Massive throwback.
But yeah, I was huge into drawing too. I've always been huge into music. Obviously, I'm on this podcast. Unfortunately, I've been stuck here. So. But yeah, I like creating things, so I appreciate people that have an eye for
sure.
Art.
I feel like art, whether it be drawing or any kind of thing, anybody with a creative outlet is relatable because you kind of go through the same turmoil trying to do so.
Oh, for sure.
And it's not necessarily easy any means, getting your art out there, getting it exposed, getting anything like that. A lot of artists have a similar struggle or come up. But I want to, like, so from drawing and painting, and then you got into tattooing?
Yeah, I always felt like tattooing was like a thing, like, this is how I can make money professionally doing art, you know? And I was grateful because I feel like that, having that kind of attention through tattooing gave me the opportunity to do other things.
Would you say you picked up some, did tattooing make you a better drawer?
I think being around other creative people made me a better drawer, because before, you know, you draw, I just draw at home, whatever. But now I'm drawing in a group of, you know, 5 or 6 other artists, and so you have that kind of creative feedback, and right. So having that allowed me to be a better drawer.
What's like one of your favorite styles? Classic Americana?
For tattooing, I like neo-traditional, but as far as drawing goes, I like to do like more
graffiti on that? And stuff. What'd you call it?
Neo-traditional?
Definitely not neo-Nazi. No. Yeah, I try to be the comic relief around here because I'm not very intelligent. God, so
dark. He goes right to Hitler.
Nazi references off the cuff.
Yeah, no, you have to.
He's not holding back.
Yeah. Neo-traditional
is like... This gun's not holstered.
Yeah, no, it's open.
Neo-traditional is more like more American traditional tattooing. I'm sure you can visualize what that's like, you know, the classic
like
Sailor Jerry type stuff. Yeah, and then
I told you I was going to talk about rum and you guys spoiled it, so
talk about rum.
We're going to talk about Sailor. We will talk about him.
So might as well do it now.
Yeah, he's one of the most influential tattoo artists like almost ever.
So I finished off a bottle of Sailor here like 2 weeks ago, and Brian was like, do you know inside of every bottle has a different tattoo?
Like, is that a fact?
Yeah, on the back,
on the inside
on the,
of the label,
on the back label? Side of the label. Sorry, I'm multitasking. On the back side of the label, like when if you rotate the bottle around like 180 degrees, once it's empty, you can finally see like the back side of the.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
The label that is stuck to the bottle that says Sailor Jerry's on it. There's a tattoo on the back side of that.
Yeah, I didn't know.
There's a bunch of people that go and like get them. They rip off the label and they like go get the tattoo done.
Oh yeah,
it's really sure, it's kind of tacky, but it's also kind of dope.
Like, it is kind of cool. Yeah.
So
this is different.
Speaking about while I got the wheel, because you handed it to me so abruptly, I want to talk about my fascination with wombats. Now, this is an ongoing thing, and you're aware. So I just want to touch on this, and then we're gonna.
Can I ask first why wombats? Where did that come from?
My best answer is Lexi Willis. I just tell everybody the same thing.
He was looking for a weight statistic on the Mars episode, and he was like, I need like a creature that's like 40 to 70 pounds, and she was just like, he's a wombat.
She was wombats. People love wombats. Just use
I knew nothing about it, but she said wombats, and I was like, damn.
Yeah, now I know who to kill.
I was like, damn, that rolls right off the palate so easy, right? So I was like, that's a funny name. It's a funny looking animal. I finally saw it. I was like, this is a wombat. This is what it looks like, by the way.
That's like your guy's mascot.
William the wombat.
Is that,
yeah, 100%.
Is that the one you're taking care
of? Yeah, that's the one $5 a month. So anyways, I'm going to ramble off 20 fast facts about wombats, and then we're going to go back to learning about Mr. Thurman. So, 20 fast facts about wombats. There are only 250 northern hairy-nosed wombats left in the world. Now, there are 3 different breeds of wombats. There's a northern hairy nose, there's a blunt nose, and then there's a southern hairy nose. But 250 of the northern hairy nose are the only ones left. All northern hairy-nosed wombats are protected.
Do this with a straight face. Come on.
I'll try so hard.
Sell it, dude. Really sell it.
I'll try so hard. Northern hairy-nosed wombats disappeared rapidly after the introduction of sheep, cattle, and rabbits in Australia by European settlers. The goal of the 2004 to 2008 recovery plan was to achieve a total population of 150 northern hairy-nosed wombats. Another fact, northern hairy-nosed wombats prefer semi-arid grasslands and sandy soil. I'm not going to read all of these. These are really long. I'll read a couple more.
They got those numbers up, though. In 2011, there was only like 17 wombats left in the world.
Yeah, they're boosting these.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And there's a huge effort to reinstall them back into the wildlife. So last fact that I really found truly interesting, in 2000 and 2001, dingoes killed up to about 20 of these hairy-nosed wombats. And then they necessitated building a 20-kilometer dingo-proof fence all around the wombat inhabited area, which is now known as Epping Forest National Park.
And the Pip Cubes.
This is southwestern Australia, just to give you reference, I guess, of like geologically where
they only poop cubes, and as we were talking beforehand,
it's a lot of facts. Hold on, just hold on while you keep talking. Sorry,
all the information I've learned about wombats is from you guys. So, I mean, it's not information I'll retain, but
you're welcome.
New every day,
you're welcome. Not my choice, but you're welcome.
You said what you and your son were looking up animals that poop like different ways. You said a rhino was brutal.
Yes, dude, it is terrible. It's like opening a black hole.
Bro,
it is absolutely foul.
Look at this list. I was trying to read this list in a minute, and it is just not happening. But there are so, like, these dudes are so cool. Like, you go up here. Here's that region I was telling you about, that map. These are the guys that I donate to, the Northern Hairy Nose. And there's like there. So the orange area here is where they like naturally used to live. Can you see that well?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the orange area in southwestern Australia here, that's where they used to inhabit, like, naturally. Now the little red dot is all they have. Like, that's all they have after that incident with the dingoes ate me wombats.
Sheesh. I'm not even 100% for sure what a wombat really looks like.
Bro, hold on. They're the cutest.
Is that it up there up top?
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on. Like a koala? They got one at the homepage.
Looking thing.
Look at this guy.
Fat ass gerbil.
Look at that guy.
Puppy breaks, kid.
Hold on. There's one of them leaving their burrow. God, it's cute as shit. Hold on a second.
Oh my God.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Right there, bro.
Okay.
They get up to 70 pounds.
Yeah, that's a big boy.
That's a big fella, dude. That's a big fella. All right, so off the wombats. Now that I laid that information out,
so
do you have a preferred or I'm a big animal guy. So do you have like a favorite animal that you like follow or
I was never a dog person, and then I got some dogs, and now it's every time I see a dog, I like literally drool. You know, it's like I remember back in school looking at girls walk past, and that's how I feel about dogs now. You know?
Damn, hey, man, look at that bitch!
Got a hot ass dog.
That's a nice looking bitch right there.
I'm talking about the dog.
Yeah, I'm talking about the dog.
But
it's a German Shepherd.
So
wild terrier mix.
When did you paint your first custom shoe?
Really only like 2 years ago, I think. I did a pair for our mutual friend Kilo for his birthday, and that was...
What made you want
to
do
it? I think it was something that I always wanted to do, and it's kind of like grown in popularity as of recently, and so it was easier access to the materials and stuff, right. You know.
That's rad, though. Corey and Brian here are both big Dolphins fans, and I saw those Timberlands you did.
Oh, you know what Corey said? He's a Dolphins fan! He's in! I'm like... This is how dumb my brother is. And I was like
somebody commissioned him.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, he is no longer cool.
No, but bro, we're like diehard Dolphins fans. Like really? Every year, I've been crying for the last
like, I was
years.
So excited for you to come on the show, and then I learned
Dolphins
that.
Thing.
And
sorry,
I was just
man.
Like, dude, fuck that guy.
I'm sorry to let you down, brother.
I was like a kid at fucking Walt Disney World, and I was just like, oh,
dude, I'm so
there's
far...
Mickey, and then he takes his head off, and it's some fucking dude chain smoking in the bag, and I'm like, what happened to Mickey? And
I'm so far removed from football, I didn't even realize it was Super Bowl Sunday today until a few days ago. Yeah,
you got a dog in the race, or
no? I don't. I don't even know what.
Yeah,
dogs are in
like
the race.
I'm the kind of guy that like I follow sports, but not religiously, but I will follow sports to a certain degree, but then like. Football wise, like if my team's not in the playoffs, my season ended. My season's over. I'm done watching.
I'm not paying attention.
I don't care about the playoffs.
The only sport I can sit down and watch is basketball. I can't really do.
See, I can't watch basketball anymore.
Not like I used to.
It used to be so much more fun to watch back whenever you could, I don't know, walk next to a player without fouling them.
Yeah, true.
It just took the fun out of the game, bro. It seriously took the fun out of the game. Hey, people are flopping left and right. It's just garbage anymore, man. Yeah. When LeBron James can get slapped in the face and then fall backwards like he's doing
a lot of makeshift. Basketball's are good actors. They should just have a coat.
They should have like a coat.
I don't know. But have you ever seen LeBron in a movie?
Space Jam 2021. It's happening this year, ladies
sadly.
And gentlemen. Space Jam 2.
Way to ruin a good movie.
Man. Yeah. I think I just ruined our podcast. So I'm really sorry. I just killed all the views we were going to get, bro. But.
Anyways, our shoes harder to paint than on paper, you think?
For sure. Recently, I did a pair with a portrait on the side, and it was on a pair of Air Force Ones, and I wound up like removing the swoosh because painting across like several panels can get difficult.
And layers.
Yeah, to try to make it look like a cohesive image, but it's like stacked on top of several different things. Yeah.
And then I don't know if you guys know, but they actually have like a class where you can take shoes apart and learn how to put them back together and design your own. Yeah.
Shoe surgeon. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's been learning how to take apart.
I've been slacking on it. That class started in January and ended in at the 1st of February.
Did you already,
I didn't have a finished product.
Did you already ask him, do you have a favorite shoe to paint? Did you ask him that? No. Do you have a favorite style shoe or a favorite brand? Like, I know you did a couple... You've done a couple ones.
Yeah, I like the Air Force ones. I think it's probably my...
I feel like with the canvas and
it's just a simple
the way the canvas, shoe is put together, it's like pretty simple. That's why like they've stayed popular for so long. It's it's
since the 80s. That shoe came out in like 1985, and it's always
it's
been...
like the Chuck Taylor.
It's a staple.
Exactly.
It's like the Chuck Taylor. It's so simple, and it will never go out of style.
You can thank Nelly for bringing back how popular Air Force ones actually were.
No, I mean,
they weren't.
He just picked up the ball. It was never dropped, really.
They weren't as globally popular. They were real popular in certain parts of the U.S., yes.
I agree with you to a certain extent. He probably made it more of a household name.
Yes,
but
exactly.
Especially
that's
in
what
like,
I mean.
Especially in like regions like
if you
New York or someplace like that, never were not wearing Air Force Ones.
Right. If you weren't a sneakerhead or like really big into sneakers, then you didn't know about Air Force Ones.
Yeah.
You just didn't.
And then what got you from shoes to custom rug making?
Oh God, those are dope. Yeah,
I appreciate it. Yeah, so that a similar thing. Those have kind of been growing in popularity online, and so I just had access to the materials. And really, I think with any project, I'm the type of person where like I don't like to do the same thing over and over and over again. So with the shoes, I started doing the shoes. I kind of was like, I'm not really feeling this as much anymore. I started doing other things, and so I just like to keep gaining things to kind of put in my
tools in your tool belt.
Yeah, exactly. So it was just something else that I thought, hey, you know, this is something I would enjoy. I would like the finished product and something I would be interested in learning.
Did you feel like the shoes were easier to do?
Nah, it's all pretty hard.
Is it really?
Yeah,
I don't know if that was like, well, no, some people,
not all sucks.
Well, no, because some people like they feel like, oh, dude, this is just too easy anymore, and then they just want to like up their game, and they're like.
No, it's all tough, and I think, you know, not to like knock anybody else that does anything, but I think I try to take time to make sure that like every little detail is where it should be, as opposed to just doing this and, you know, painting a panel and saying it's done. You know, you want to make sure all the trim is properly, you know, everything looks perfect. I think
bro, that Frank Ocean rug was.
I appreciate it,
dude.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Ocean is dope. Mac Miller.
That one really popped off, dude. I was really happy with the response.
Have you sold a couple of those?
Yeah, in several colorways too. I
was gonna say if you could change the pink, like I didn't really care for the red pink color.
Well, that's
like,
actually from a. So I didn't like pick those colors. They were colors from. There's a photo of him that's kind of in that hue.
Yeah.
And really? So I just took the. Yeah, it's actually like his. You know how they on Spotify. That's like the artist photo.
Oh,
that's
like, yeah, it was like a filter that got. Put
but I mean, that thing was rad, and I knew it as soon as you posted. I was like, man, everybody's on that Mac Miller drum.
Dude, I had a feeling the ball felt good coming out of hand. I was like, dude, this one is gonna do something nice, and I made like 12 sales off of that.
That was
one,
a half course shot right there.
Yeah.
Oh, joke. Blindfolded with a leg taped to your back.
So what would you say is one of the hardest things about like coming up in your lane of art, or just the struggles you've had over the years as an artist?
I think just being an artist and selling art in general. I feel like it was hard to get recognition as an artist until I became a tattoo artist, because people are interested in tattoos, but people aren't really interested in amateur art. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so until I was a professional artist in some way, shape, or form, it wasn't really until then, until people were like, oh, shit, he's actually doing something, you know? So I think just getting any kind of recognition is difficult from the jump.
But, right.
You know, that being said, if you master your craft.
Once you master it, everybody's going to want to involve.
Yeah. I don't know what that feels like. So I've been working on that for 30 years now, and I don't know what it feels like to master anything, actually.
But I just think it's – so then the next thing for you is clothing design.
So we're doing, I feel like t-shirts, making rugs and painting shoes is kind of expensive. So I'm going to start doing screen printing t-shirts, because I feel like I can sell a shirt for $20 or $30, and that's a lot easier to come up off of than
$200
or $400.
Yeah, right. Like if I'm looking at a Mac Miller rug, I'm like, damn, that's dope. And then I see the price tag, $500, oh man,
maybe
that's, it's not
shirt.
That dope.
Yeah.
No, it is that dope, but it's just like, you know, it's easier to sell a $50 t-shirt than it is a $500 rug. Drop it exponentially.
I'm not losing my wife over this purchase.
Yeah, exactly. Like, go back to the trailer park and then Velveeta is going to beat you half to death with a broom later. So I want to go back to Sailor Jerry. Just real quick. No. I used to drink the crap. I used to drink the crap out of some Sailor Jerry's rum. It was my go-to.
Really?
I never was a big Captain guy.
It's like a middle. It's like a middle of the lane. Not too expensive.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's,
He says he's not a Captain Morgan guy. He's a Sailor Jerry guy. That's all we could afford at the time.
I'm talking. No, this is after you. This is after you and I started drinking together.
Oh, really?
This is more military. Like when I was in the military, I did 3 years in the Army, and while I was there, it was like almost everybody drank Sailors. I don't know why.
Really?
But it really is.
What division of the military were you in?
Infantry. Army infantry.
Oh, the Army. Okay, yeah.
Yes, sir. Say,
if you were in the Navy, probably.
No,
you're
right. The no.
Navy Sailors drinking the old Sailor.
Dude, I got a little more.
You
got
to get the Sailor Jerry.
No,
and then, like, you know, once you get upgraded to Captain, then you switch to Captain Morgan.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, only drink Captain.
See, well, no, and the only reason I didn't join the Navy, honestly, is because I have respect for myself. And
shot fire.
So then so while I'm in the military, it really is like the Jack Daniels of rum. It really is.
Just the
so
go-to.
It's
easy
just
to
a
pick
go-to,
up.
easy to start. Like, if you don't drink a lot of rum, like, it's a good one to start on. But anyways, that being said, I want to talk about the man himself, Sailor Jerry. There are several influential tattoo artists throughout the decades, like, for the last 100 years.
Yeah.
Like, do you have one in particular that, like, Cat D or, like...
I don't know, because
Cat D does good stuff, and then
I always feel like mainstream tattoo artists are not mainstream because they're tattoo artists. For instance, Kat Von D is famous because she was on television, not because
what was that?
And
Miami
she's
Ink?
On.
I couldn't even say.
She started on Miami Ink and then got her own show on LA Ink, but I think she's really only famous for her being a female tattoo artist that's good on the eyes has banged like 20 rock stars.
100%. Yeah. I'm not disagreeing.
What a resume.
I'm just saying.
Just saying, dog.
But like Sailor Jerry, I feel like...
I think one of the reasons that Sailor Jerry is a more household name is because of the alcohol. But also, I guess, in all fairness, he was like one person to start to change the art of tattooing. I think a lot of things were like strictly copied from whatever references you could find in books at the time. You know, there wasn't the internet, so you couldn't just go look up your references. So whatever was easily accessible, and I think he kind of
made it easily accessible.
Well, I just think he did his own drawings. The drawings differently than I think what were typically accepted.
I don't know what style.
I'm not too brushed up on my Sailor Jerry history. So.
No, and that's fine. But like, you understand the style of what he tattooed, and I don't know what you call
that. That's American traditional.
That is American, kind of like the way they do the shading and like the colors.
Yeah, yeah, there's typically like a minimal color palette and like thick bold lines and solid
thick bold
lines.
And then there's always like good shading and like shadowing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I love his stuff.
What's your favorite tattoo you have?
Oh, I don't know, dude.
So we're gonna do our best to get this one on YouTube. But if you're not watching this on YouTube and you're just listening, this man's covered for sure. Super, super dope. All over the hands. I want it. So, what is your favorite?
I think there's a tattoo artist here in town, Samantha Scott, and she did a like boxer on the inside of my wrist. I really love that.
Yeah, that's the one that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the same
and
one.
And I love that tattoo artists are now adding tattoos on their tattoo guys. You know what I mean? Like that.
Oh yeah.
Little,
yeah.
I don't know what you would call that, but. I mean, I think
tattoos
that's really
on
rad.
Tattoos. I actually have a tattoo on my hand of a hand with the same knuckle tattoos that I have on my knuckle.
that's
rad.
Real Matrix situation.
Yeah, right. Hold my hands.
Hold my hand while my hand's holding this other hand that's holding a hand. And
so, who is your tat dad?
So Matt Morris, he taught me how to tattoo.
Yeah.
I
thought you said tap dad. I was like, let's do tap dances. Let's go.
You tell me your tap dance and I'm walking out that fucking door. If he's a tap dancer, I'm out.
I'm be like, dude, you bring your shoes?
He's hustling.
Let's get it.
That's too much. You can't make rugs, tattoo, draw on shoes, and tap dance.
I'm also starting a barbershop quartet. I'm looking for three other people. You guys are looking like,
I do a good bass. Just a heads up. So.
I'll just book the clients.
For sure. I have a good.
You've always struck me as a singer, though, Tommy.
I don't know if I could sing.
I think you could. I think you could.
What's funny is before I turned of legal age and I had a fake ID and I'd go to the bar, that was like the only time I could get drunk enough to do karaoke.
Never.
And I only did one song and it was Fuck Her Gently by Tenacious D every single time.
Love that song until somebody that's too young is singing it in karaoke.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But now I won't be getting up on stage. Sorry. No? Like, unless it's some clown and shit. Like, I had some buddies that were up on stage and like I was taking photos and stuff.
I do karaoke, I only do a couple of songs. And one of them is by ICP, so I really just try to.
The rest of it's like Mariah Carey.
Yeah,
I saw somebody sing that song, Tequila.
Tequila.
Well, that's literally the only word in the song.
Yeah, that's great.
Tequila.
Yeah,
exactly. That's more my speed. I don't got to do much.
That's more my speed. Yeah.
Don't have to forget any
words. I
have
to move. I have to do nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're really feeling into it, you snap a
finger. Yeah, throw a snap in there.
There was a shit salsa. back when the Fox and the Hound were like actually like a good bar to go to.
I forgot so much. About that
I thought that was a good movie.
I loved Fox.
Mike, the
bro.
Fox and the Hound. Yeah, that was a good movie.
Yeah.
No, I love
the first movie ever made me cry. I loved to really listen.
I loved Fox and the Hound. That was a great bar. They had karaoke by our boy BK every Tuesdays. That was a blast. And there was one girl every Tuesday who would go there and sing Gangster's Paradise by Coolio.
Did she nail it,
though? Oh, she didn't even look at the screen, bro. She knew it. Word for
that
word.
Was her motto.
Ad-libs. Oh, bro.
She sang the same song every Tuesday?
Every Tuesday. And everybody would stop what they were doing. If they're at the bar getting a drink, whatever, they would go straight to the karaoke room. And, I mean, she had the place.
You know who that is.
Dude.
You know who that is. That's the guy. And
you literally just said girl, and you just said guy.
I'm saying that that's the person that goes to karaoke so much. And I came so close to being this guy when I was in Let me go ahead and give you the rundown. That's the guy that knows that one song so well that whenever on the screen it says like a guitar solo and it's just like that, you're not singing, it's just a little bebop part. They start freestyling to Gangsta's in Paradise and it's like, what is like, why are they freestyling?
They did their own DJ
mix-up,
man.
They know the song so well, they got bars on bars. You know what I mean? They're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And that guy probably has a drinking problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that was me. So,
yeah. Are you sure. Super lonely?
I was really close to that for sure.
I was honestly,
if I'm not lying to you, my karaoke song was In Color by Jamie Johnson. And I actually play that song on guitar fairly well. And I enjoy singing it not a healthy amount.
There's always something that I enjoy about seeing somebody sing passionately, sing karaoke. You know what I mean? It's like this was their dream before they started working at the office or whatever. And
right.
They're up there with the one finger in the ear. And,
yeah, like, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. All tuned in.
Yeah. Yeah, like they brought their own headset. Like, you don't need a headset for this. And she's exactly, like bringing in a studio mic arm. And she's like, hold on, hey, get me on the levels. Levels, check me on the levels.
Yeah. Invites her parents.
Yeah. No, dude, this isn't high school.
Whole fan
musical,
posse
bro.
Front row.
Yeah, no joke, dude.
But
I was dangerously close to being that guy.
Can we just
for the record.
Can we just also, while we're on the topic of karaoke and people making asses out of themselves, can we stop with the support group girls that just go up there to watch their friend and they're louder than the fucking song? There's nothing more annoying than that. Let your girl sing.
Yeah, be proud
of her.
Hey, you got to gas up your friends.
Gas them up, but shut the fuck up and let us enjoy the song at least.
Speaking of starting a quartet, that's essentially what's happening on stage now. Like one girl's like, oh, I don't know, should I go sing Britney Spears? I did it again. It's like, well, I don't want to do it by myself. And then it's like just like a gang of prostitutes.
Here comes Stacy in the background. Yeah. Bitch, I'm singing too. And she's just like stumbles on stage.
No joke, dude. I don't disagree with you.
It's obnoxious.
I don't disagree with you. I think that chill it out, ladies.
I'm not happy with it.
Chill it out, ladies.
Anyways,
only if it's a bachelorette party.
Yeah, your tat daddy.
My tat daddy.
Glad we came back to that. Who's your tat daddy?
I do this once an episode.
That's a real term, tat daddy. It makes me uncomfortable every time.
Really?
I think it's kind of hot. It's kind of hot for me.
I'd watch it.
Whatever.
I'd watch it. Yeah. Yeah. I loved it.
Hey, I'll sign up for that, OnlyFans.
So, so you learned, wait, he's local?
Copyright.
Or was local at the time?
Matt Morris, he taught me like the technical application, and then it's kind of one of those things. You can't necessarily learn it from one person. You just kind of have to obtain all the information that you can and then utilize it in a way that works for you. You know, I mean, obviously there are certain like rules that you have to follow, but you know, not everybody does everything the same way.
Right.
So.
And then I want to, let's square this off right away. We waited too long to do it. Your Instagram, or how do people get in touch with you or follow you?
Through Instagram, at @Lope_originals, and then just Facebook at Cody Thurman.
LOPE underscore L-O-P-E. Originals.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, dope. So where do I schedule, like where, if I just want to walk in and like see some of your stuff, like do I meet you under a bridge downtown, or like, is it on the Greenway? Like, are you down there with like a tent or something? Or like, where can I meet you at?
Really?
It's graphic. Yeah. I feel like you've done this. Yeah.
Too many details.
I wasn't given tattoos though.
Hey, they got paid for that.
That's how
mixer.
It was when Sailor Jerry was tattooing.
Yeah, come on down to the bar. Yeah. I'll talk to you out here.
So, where bathroom.
Where are you? Where are you doing your work at, bro?
So I work at Evil Twins, and I actually run an art studio just two doors down from there called Melt Studios. And so, as far as like booking appointments and stuff, that's in the near future. That's kind of where I'll be doing most of my booking from. I'll still be tattooing at Evil Twins, but that's kind of where I'll be, you know, meeting with clients and doing consultations and stuff. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, what's the one thing you hope to accomplish in 2021?
That's a loaded question. I feel like every year I try to do, like, obtain more and more skills. I do feel like last year I kind of bit off more than I could chew, like, with the rugs, and I've been doing shoes and all kinds of stuff. So I think I'm going to try to hone it back and just focus on one thing, which I think is going to be, I think I'm going to try and build shoes. And
Yeah.
But then I say that, but I'm also, like,
slacking
printing
on
shirts. I'm slacking on the shoes, printing shirts. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. So.
Yeah, I feel like it's really hard. It's like another artist in a way of my own way. Like, you know, I do several different lanes as well. And they're so hard to like
keep that balance.
If you focus too much on one, then you're slacking on another. Yeah, and it's like it's a constant juggle. And then, you know, you're like, oh, this ball's a little shaky. I got to reach out farther and get it back in line. It's time management, man. It's impossible.
You had a good analogy for that, didn't you?
Analogy was with
the drops
friends,
in the bucket.
Friends, but it still applies the same to art, I think, is like the way I use analogy is a bottle of water is 16 fluid ounces. Okay. And in front of you, you've got each one of your crafts or friends or, you know, different things in front of you.
Essentially, you can only spread yourself.
Right. You know, your 16 fluid ounces, that's all you have. That's all the time and energy you have. And then, you know, you pour it into these different lanes, but then, like, you're left empty and all these cups are, you know, divided out throughout the sorts. And then, like, you know, you got to pour water into friends that pour water back into you.
Yeah. For sure.
And get that little bit of an...
Get that feedback.
Yeah, get that feedback and the even balance. But then also, you know, like... you can do 10 things and, you know, you only got 10 pennies and you put a penny in each one versus one where you put, you know,
have a better
six
outcome,
or eight pennies in, you know what I mean? And that one takes off a bit more. It's just hard finding that specific lane, I feel like, to that really makes it.
And I drink a lot of water. So I don't give Tommy any water.
You know, like,
I don't know why I'm still here. So like I don't ever give Tommy water. Yeah, so the fact that we're still friends, I don't know how that works.
I'm really a glass half full kind of guy.
So you got 8 fluid ounces?
Yeah, he just keeps 8 for himself and dumps 8 out.
I think that what they call that is you were just born with a deficiency is what that is.
Yeah, I'm stupid.
Yeah, that's what it is. So I like to reiterate almost in every show.
There was no hope for me. How I made it this far in life? I mean, I'm astounded. Dude, I hold a steady job. Gosh. I own a home.
I got a question for Mr. Thurman. What's the weirdest or... I got two questions for you.
Okay.
So what's the weirdest tattoo you've put on an individual's body?
Ooh.
And you don't have to name drop or anything. Or if it's like...
I feel like I've had a lot weirder inquiries than actual tattoos that I've done. Because a lot of times, like, you'll not necessarily tell somebody no, but you'll be like, I don't know about it. Maybe we'll try to change
this.
Actually,
let me ask you the second one.
Yeah, that'll be $600 an hour.
So let me ask both parts so you can answer accordingly. So the first one is, what's the weirdest tattoo you have physically put on somebody's body? And then second question... Part two, what's in your subjective opinion is the worst tattoo you put on somebody's body? So weirdest and worst. Like,
I don't know if he could say the worst.
I will say though that whenever it comes to the worst thing, I think there's a lot of like any kind of like trending design or like an infinity sign or stuff like that. I mean, that stuff happens all the time. Stuff that I'm like, oh, this is the worst that I have to do this. Not to say that the quality of the work.
That's
is
what I meant. That's
I want a tribal tattoo.
Tell me about a time you fucked up on somebody's tattoo.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean it like that. I get what you mean. Okay.
Yeah. So there's this chick, right? Yeah. And I totally put the wrong.
I've seen your work. We're all on the same page and assuming that you can do phenomenal work, and I've been impressed with everything I've seen so far. Apparently some I thought all of it was yours, but I guess the boxer tattoo was
that was one that was just on me.
What was her name again?
Samantha Scott.
Okay. Shout out to Samantha Scott. That's a dope ass tattoo.
She's actually one of my favorite tattoo artists,
and she's still here in town.
Super dope. Yeah, I don't know how frequently she's tattooing, but she's in town. Yeah,
so what's the weirdest? Let's just answer that question.
If I'm being honest, I haven't done a whole lot of weird tattoos. I will say that I essentially apprenticed twice. Mm-hmm. When I started apprenticing, I apprenticed for maybe like a month or two, and then I moved to Charlotte. And then when I came back, I kind of picked up in a. But when I very first started apprenticing, the dude that I was apprenticing under, his name was Jake, and he did a tattoo of a. I can be pretty candid on here, huh?
Yeah,
we are crass. I think we've even said the C word a couple times. No,
you can't fucking cuss on this damn podcast. Who the fuck do you think you are?
No, let it rip.
Anyway, he tattooed a dildo on this woman, and it was like a banner.
That's all you got?
Hey man,
come on, dude. I thought you were gonna come in hot.
I'm not sure, dude.
I thought you were gonna be like, yeah, and we did Diane Summers naked with a.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah.
No, it was a double-headed studded dildo with a, and he just like
with
the
banner that says "Mommy's favorite."
Love, mom.
Disgusting.
God, it's we could go on for days on that one. Anyway, so
I wasn't
sure,
man. Some topics are sensitive. But anyway, it was not on the day's grim, bro.
Yeah, not on the day's grim. Here. Let it rip.
There was a banner wrapped around it that said "True Love," and I think that was just one of the weirdest things I've seen.
That's great. True love.
Hold up, wait.
To the batteries run out.
It said true love?
It was a banner wrapped around it. Yeah, that said true love.
And this episode's brought to you by Rabbit. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. Our proud sponsors over at...
Oh, man.
Our proud sponsors at Christian Mingle would like you to know.
Also, there was a girl that got her boyfriend's name tattooed on her ass. I actually did that tattoo of her boyfriend's name on her ass. And then she wanted it covered up with like a paddle. A black paddle. I guess they broke up, and it's a never get somebody's name.
Yeah, that's like rule number one.
No, yeah, that yeah. yeah.
That's kind of hot though. That she went with a paddle.
I know. Was, I know yeah, business yeah. is yeah. business, but do you ever look at somebody and whenever they're like, "I want this name," be like, "Are you sure?" Like, do you ever look at them and be like, "Are you 100% sure?" You
all the time. One time, I tattooed. It was a couple came in and I tattooed their names on each other, and they were on their first date. Coming
no.
to see me. Yes. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
It was you'd be like, you know, we can't be tattooing That's with liquor okay. involved. Right?
And the craziest thing to me was she was beautiful and he was kind of a derpy looking dude. And so I'm over here like, man, he must be paid or something, dude. Well, I don't know how.
Yeah. She must be drunk.
Yeah. It's got to be, dude. I don't know how she got this dude's name That's tattooed insane. On their first
You
got
to wonder whose idea it was, though.
That's insane to me. Like,
that doesn't seem like a wild. Guy's idea.
It's so wild.
I've been with my fiance. You probably saw a picture of her on the fridge downstairs. I've been with her for 6 years, and I don't think there's an amount of money in the world you could pay myself or her, for that matter, to tattoo either of our names on one.
Would you get your wedding band tattooed?
I don't think so.
See, that's one thing I think after like 10 years I might do. You
if
know,
I'm
the
old.
The name, though,
if
that,
I'm
we
old,
call it the curse just because it there's
it
no way.
It seems like you're jinxing it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like you're jinxing
it. This is going perfect.
Yeah, I really love
Six
this
weeks
woman
later.
With all my heart. Let me tattoo her name on my nipples, and then boom.
That's a very high pressure area, and then Parks.
It feels so controlling, almost. Like that doesn't seem like a predominantly guy driven.
I've also been in situations like that where it was like, oh, you're. Get my name tattooed on you. You know what I mean? Where they
tap my name on it, so I know it's real.
Yeah.
If I were to get my name tattooed on a girl's ass, Thomas, I'd want TH on the left butt cheek and MAS on the right.
Oh my God.
That's
nice.
Yeah. Kind of hot.
Yeah, that way when you spread it, there's the O.
Oh, wow. Took me a minute.
Yeah, that's great.
I can't deal with you, bro. I can't deal with you.
Yeah.
You said funnier things to me, but honestly, I'm struggling to think of one. But that's up there. I swear to God, that is up there.
But the old
brown eye.
where would you say that? What are some people that you look up to?
In the tattoo industry?
Just in general.
I don't know, man. There's a million artists on Instagram that I definitely don't try to be one of those people who's like, oh, this is my favorite person, and I'm going to kind of model myself after that.
What about work ethic? Like, I think he meant just like
what
in general.
What does mean in general? Like, what are some people throughout life that you've looked at and been like,
it doesn't have to be one person.
Been like, dope. Yeah. Like, you know, they got these traits, and I kind of want.
Ooh, I don't know. I have absolutely nothing is coming to mind. Really. Yeah.
You know what that says to me?
Self-made.
Yeah, no, that honest to God, that what that means to me, right? There is that you're not like, not that it's a good or a bad thing, but it's just it shows your reluctancy to necessarily like idolize somebody.
Well, I think also it's like if you follow somebody's art too much, and then it's like it starts to inflect on your art. And I think that's an all right thing. But once your style starts to adapt directly in line with something that somebody else is doing, then it's just kind of unoriginal. Yeah, and so yeah. I try to take inspiration, but not like, you know, I'm fucking on this person's jock. This is the only art I'm looking at, and this is the only thing I'm taking inspiration from. Facts. So,
what are some tips you would give to artists out there?
Late nights are important, I think.
Yeah, just maximizing the most out of your days as
just
you can.
Just your time, yeah. I think that I used to just spend a lot of time at home, like, oh man, I wish I was actually working on some art. And then just not doing it, you know, for whatever reason. And then, you know, whenever you actually get in the rhythm of doing things, then it's kind of, what's the saying? A body in motion stays in motion or something like that. You know, it's kind of the same way with art. Once you start creating, then you just think of new projects and you know what I mean?
It becomes easier. Yeah. I know there's days where like I lay in bed and I'm just like, fuck, I don't want to make any candles today.
I'm just laying there and I'm like,
dude, they're in the other room.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I'll go in there and I'll turn on the wax melter and then like 45 minutes goes by and I go back in and I turn it off. I'm like, no, I'm just not going to make any. That, like that I already waited for it to cool.
That was something that was tough for me. I felt like I had to separate my, so I have a art studio outside of my house, so I had to do something like that, because if I was sitting at home and was just not feeling and I just want to watch TV, constantly in the back of my mind would be that thought, like, man, I'm a lazy piece of shit, dude. I could be up and doing something right now. But if it's away from home, I can schedule time for myself to actually go do something, be creative and productive. Yeah,
that's the hard part for me, is like I get home from work and then I'm like, oh, I got, you know, I can make candles or I can do this, but like here lately I got that iPad that I'm drawing, you know, clothing designs. And I start working on it, and then I like look up, and I'm like, fuck, it's 1 o'clock. I got to wake up in 6 hours.
Late nights are important. They really are. The hard work, just grinding it out, getting it done, getting in a rhythm. And on that, I want to ask, what is your, so like your Monday to Friday, what's a Tuesday like for Mr. Thurman?
I'm a sleeper, man. I've sleep in until probably like one or so, and then just get up and go.
I'm a big fan already.
So I'll spend the first half of my day like
napping,
trying to book appointments for tattoos and things like that. But I definitely spend my evenings probably from like, I would say maybe 10 to 2 or 3 sometimes in the studio, like producing and, you know, and then, yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
No, right on. Right on.
What are, like, what connections do you say? Like, what homies or connections or whatever, like, kept you going, kept motivating you, kept you pushing?
Kilo, actually, you know yeah. Kilo. So he's been my best friend since we were kids, and I think he's a different type of creative, but having someone that's as passionate about what he's passionate about is to see that and say, okay, well, he's driven in what he's doing, and it motivates me to be able to, well,
and like, it's like Kilo's never met a stranger. Like,
he knows got that, everything, well, and everybody.
He's just like
an
straight up dude.
Dude, for sure.
Yeah, you see Kilo, and then he's come. He's like, he's never met a stranger.
Yeah,
I don't think that dude has ever once made anyone feel like a complete stranger.
Going out in public with that guy, it's like people from all walks of life. An 80-year-old man will approach him, like, "Hey, you're like, how the fuck do you know this?"
Right, it's crazy, man.
Can we take?
We're gonna have him on eventually.
I want to take a moment to look at the most tattooed man in the world, real quick.
So there's a dude I think is the most tattooed. Well, actually, there's this guy named Enigma, and he has puzzle pieces tattooed. Yeah. Over. That might be him. But there's
I saw him on Ripley's.
This guy's
so I've met him in person.
Lucky Diamond Rich. That's terrifying.
Oh, it just looks like he got his skin completely colored in black.
Yeah, no, he really looks like a demon. Oh, looky here. He's actually got some hair back here. I don't know.
Yep, and I'm scarred.
Oh, yikes.
That's...
Yeah, that's a bit much. This is like, yeah, I'm just going to get my entire body colored in and call it a day.
That's
yeah, I don't know that counts, man, because it's like you definitely are a tattooed person, but it's like you,
yeah,
it's just one big tattoo of blue.
You're not even tattooed at that point.
Yeah, it looks,
you're just,
it looks to me like, I'm trying to get a good zoom in on this, but it doesn't look, well, there's some light, it looks like they just tattooed scales on
them. That's it. That's all he is dye.
But he's got
who are you talking about?
Okay, yeah. This dude named Enigma that's like covered in puzzle pieces.
Yeah, look that up, Brian.
But there's also this other guy that's like his face. You guys probably seen him. His face is tattooed like a skull.
The guy that was in what's that movie? Suicide Squad.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, now because of that appearance, that appeal, he's doing bigger things like that.
Yeah, I saw him, you know, years before that movie.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, doing little photo shoots and this and that of like, you know, that kind of feel to it.
The first time I saw him, I think, was in like a tattoo, like makeup thing to cover your tattoos. And so they like covered his whole body.
Oh, they did that with like Wiz Khalifa once or something that. And like, yeah.
Yo, Khalifa's tatted.
Dude, Khalifa's gotten buff over the last year.
He has.
Yeah, he's been
doing
that.
Do you remember
whenever
MMA? Dr. Dre came out like that? And you were like, what the fuck happened to Dr. Dre? Why is he so swole all of a sudden? Yo, that's how I feel about Wiz Khalifa,
that,
too.
Busta Rhymes.
Well, you know what he's
Busta Rhymes? Yes.
You know what he's been doing? He's been doing
Carrot Top. MMA. He came out
Carrot
like
Top. Yeah, he's been doing that. Yeah, that was scary looking. I was like, I don't know how to take Carrot
you
Top
could,
right now.
Some people get buff and you question, is that steroids? But with Carrot Top, you're like, this fucker is on steroids.
Well,
100%.
Same thing with Dave Chappelle. Everybody, whenever Dave Chappelle got all jacked up.
He did get swole, too.
Everybody was just kind of like,
I feel like that's how celebrities do it. They go in hiding and get buff.
Yeah,
and come back out for another appearance.
I feel like celebrities kind of like, once their money kind of slows down, and they're like, man, I've been living like shit. I feel like shit. You know, and they're I need to get this stuff in check. And then they like kind of tick off and they get a routine.
Well, they're doing steroids too.
They have to be. There's no way.
I'm sure that they have some specialist that's given.
Yeah,
like,
they probably have a nutritionist and you know, some
Dave Chappelle
kind of physical trainer.
Dave Chappelle is damn near 60 years old. That dude is
I'm sure he's getting
like 50 something.
I'm sure he's getting 40, like stem cell 40, injections.
Seriously, man. All I'm saying is that
it's all implants.
Dude's up there.
You want to hear what bothers me here lately?
I can't it's always flexed.
Yeah, it's like, not even trying, dude.
So the human body can grow another human body inside of it, females, right? They can have a kid, but like...
I think we have to explain the term female. I think we can't say that anymore.
Oh, well, why? I'm just saying, like, you lose an arm, you can't grow that shit back. How does that work? Like, you know, that just seems a little bit off to me.
All right, and...
I'm just saying, you're not 47 years old, you're not damn near 50 years old, and then just getting... As jacked as he did.
He's losing a lot of it. He got jacked in like 2010, 2012. That's
when he started coming out with those new specials.
He did it almost overnight.
Dude, he was out of the public eye for like 10 years and then came back. So it might have been that whole thing.
Do you think he was training in Africa?
No, I think he went and got Solace in Africa. And then he came back and was like, all right, I'm good. And then went back to Ohio and relaxed.
You think he met up with Akon down there?
Akon?
It's gotta be, bro.
Dude, Akon got rich and went to Africa and hasn't came back.
Dude, I can see something about Akon building some kind of like utopia.
Akon's rad.
Hey, Akon gave
so long as it's not an island, I'm cool with it, because islands with rich people, not a good look here lately. Firefest, we got Epstein, just leave islands alone. All you rich people, if you hear this, don't buy an island.
I'll take an island.
The Friar Festival. Do it. Yeah, the Friar Festival was all Ja Rule's fault.
So, would you
hold on? The Friar Festival.
Yeah, the Fry Festival.
It was a fry. It was bad.
If you had the chance to go to Mars to like help colonize Mars, would you?
Absolutely, 100%.
You would?
I think I would literally physically die for the opportunity to go into space.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. I like that enthusiasm, and I'm with you all the way. No.
Dude, nothing would be like that experience.
That if we go, for sure we're dead. For sure
we're not. Yeah, probably. But it would be worth it.
For sure.
Yeah. It would be worth it.
I'm bringing a little bit of weed, and I'm probably going to have the time of my life. Like, if I'm going out, like maybe a scotch. You know, something nice.
I don't think
you
can do any of that while you're launching. But, you know,
it's gonna be sitting in the seat.
I'm assuming I make it to the stratosphere, right? Then I get up to the International Space Station. We dock up. We get some fuel or whatever. We're hanging out.
Hey, Chief, you want a Chief?
Exactly, bro. Exactly. Well, you can't pour a scotch in space, so I'd have to like sip it through a Capri Sun.
If it weren't for social media, do you think you'd have it?
I don't even know if you could smoke up there, but I'm going to try.
If it weren't for social media, do I think I would have what, clients?
No, social media. Like, if you didn't need social media to run your business, do you think you'd have
social media? I don't think I would have Facebook. I think I have Facebook primarily as not necessarily a form of advertisement. And I definitely utilize it for other things. Like, I creep on people and look at shit.
I do too.
Yeah, but...
super, super weird stuff. Not you, me.
We're all
not
guilty. Everybody's guilty of it.
I've got wombat. Everybody's done. I'm in wombat groups, bro. Like,
no,
it's dark.
Dedicated.
Yeah, I'm in there.
Bro. When we get our hoodies and stuff going, the Days Grim merch,
we're going to have to work on a wombat.
$1 to $2 of every profit's going to go to wombats.
And we got
to
make a wombat shirt as well. We're going to touch base on that again.
Going to have you riding a wombat.
Dude, I'll buy all the shirts. I'll buy all of them. Like, I'll pay for him to make that shirt.
God.
I'll pay for him to make 100 of those t-shirts.
I don't care.
Can I be shirtless in a man thong? Just,
Brian's like, stupid.
Fried.
Oh, God.
Fried fest. Fried fest. Oh, that's man. What it is. Oh, I guess I should.
Oh, since we're on the since we're on the topic of like old episodes. So, do you think 9/11 was a conspiracy? Like, do you have any conspiracies about 9/11?
I'm not going to say that. Probably. I don't trust anything any government does ever, period.
So he's like looking at me like, I'm not going to say that I agree with anything, but I just need to stay really quiet about it.
Yeah.
What about the moon landings? Are you on that freight train?
I don't know. I don't know about
that. Have you seen some of the really intriguing photos that they've dropped about photos and videos they've done about how they like
staged it?
Yeah, they did. No, and they came out and said that they staged these photos and videos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have you not seen this stuff?
No, it's like factual things.
Are factual things. And the reason they did it. They had these astronauts like suspended by cables, like going in and out of the lunar hub and stuff. And they took pictures of them and put them on newspapers and whatever and showed the videos. And they've come out and said like these were all just training apparatuses. Like we just blacked out the background to make it look like space or whatever. But yeah, it was all faked. It was faked for publicity. They wanted to get it. They wanted to get a good, clean shot of the astronaut doing what it would look like he'd be doing.
What
in
he would
space.
Be doing, anyways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they wanted it to be clean, crisp, and put it in the paper and have people see it. And it's been fake, dude. It's
space is going to be the new thing. I mean, Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, just stepped down to focus on his rocket company. Boeing's doing rockets. Elon's doing rockets.
Why? Let Elon do his shit.
Nobody's going to be able to catch up with him and put him on the same game as him. He's already ahead of the ball. So
he's such a fascinating person. Like
he's like the real life Batman, dude.
No, he's Tony Hawk.
He's Tony Hawk. He's all that.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Dude, I saw this video the other day of Tony Hawk trying to do some tricks. And like he missed a few. Yeah,
720.
Yeah, and dude, he was upset. Yeah, and I'm like, dude,
that they let him keep doing it until he landed.
Well, I don't know about
he
that.
Did do it.
That's what you're talking about.
He landed the 720.
Yeah, but
he could still 720.
You could just tell he was so sad, and I was like, dude, like you invented half these tricks when you were 14. Yeah. Like you, how old's Tony Hawk now? Like 45, 47.
He's up
like,
there.
So in so to publicize remastering those games, they like built a lot of those or some of those sets from the older game Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 or so.
Yeah, there was
that one in the warehouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so so they rebuilt that whole thing and he actually skated that for the commercial and shit.
That's right.
I thought that was super tight. Tony Hawk is somebody I would
know that.
Yeah, so who's somebody dead or alive that you wish you could meet?
Other than Tony Hawk, because you obviously just played that card. Jesus.
Can you
Tony.
Look any more offended?
You just said Tony Hawk.
Except for Tony Hawk, because you know he already brought that little nugget up.
That definitely, Tony Hawk is somebody I would chill with for sure. And he's like, by the way.
Somebody, I'd probably say 2 Chainz, dude. 2 Chainz seems like a cool guy.
The most expensivest?
Yeah.
Buying all that shit.
Who did Gretchen interview? It wasn't 2 Chainz. Who did she interview?
Tech Nine,
that's who it was. Sorry. Yeah. My bad. Wrong person.
Tech Nine?
Yeah.
You guys had Gretchen on here, huh?
Yeah.
Do you know Gretchen?
So I we were talking about my friend Kilo earlier. He knows her. And also I was on her morning show a couple years ago.
Oh, no joke.
Cool. Yeah.
We did like a huge like flashback shout out to that page, her YouTube page that she is still up and running.
Yeah, the best day ever.
Yeah, the best day ever. So
I didn't even know anything about that. Yeah. I just know her from the news.
Yeah, she doesn't work for the news anymore.
Oh really?
Yeah. COVID happened.
Oh, did you not go on going on? Did you go on the news with her or did you go
he went on the morning
on her
news
actual
show.
Morning show for the
news. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant her. Okay.
We were on it once for the Bourdon Bros that they do. Or used to do.
We used to do. That's a distant past. Younger
so
days.
So far gone. I still had like a 7-pack back then too.
Yeah. What are you rocking with now?
I got like a 2-pack for sure, dude. I got a Tupac Shakur going on down here. I'm pretty proud of it though. I work pretty hard. I run like 8 miles a week
What's your favorite place in Evansville?
The crib.
Definitely. the crib.
Yeah. I feel like I haven't done much since COVID started.
Brian's like, wait, there's a place you called the crib?
No, literally.
Are you talking about the crib downtown? Yeah, I've been there.
You read my mind. Honest to God, if you're listening to this podcast and you're from Evansville, Indiana, hell, if you're from any town and you're listening to this, make a restaurant, bar, hangout, music place, whatever. Call it the crib.
The crib, yeah.
Swear to God. Hey, that's
just
what I thought
me at
for
the crib.
For a second, bro.
That just calls for confusion, man.
It really does.
No,
you mean, so you mean your house, or are you talking about the spot?
Yeah. Yeah, you're talking about down on Lawrence Street, or are you talking about over at your place on Crenshaw? Like, what's going on, bro? Yeah.
People are just like, dude, I hate Cody. Why? He always says he's at the fucking crib. I know he fucking calls it everything's the fucking crib to him.
Yeah, but he's actually emceeing at the crib tonight, I think. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, man, I had a show at the crib last night. What?
I don't ever leave the crib, dude.
Listen, I swear, I'll buy a building and make a restaurant called the Crib tomorrow. Yeah, I'll do it. No I balls. Swear,
you really
dude.
Would.
I swear. And then I'll plug
it on
this podcast.
I feel like
it
should be like a nursery, like a daycare.
Wow. Oh, I heard. Yeah, no, that works. Okay. I don't know why I heard. I thought you were going to say nursing home. I was like, Jesus.
It should be a nursing home.
Yeah, we take
we
all
just
your
send
grandparents.
Grandma to the crib.
Well, I'll tell
we
you
take
what,
all
though.
Your grandparents and we put them in this one room that looks exactly like a child's nursery. And we call it the crib.
In retrospect, and when you think about the human life, you start out in a crib and you end in a crib, essentially. So,
yeah.
I mean, really, it is a weird way to look at it. You start crawling, you stand up and walk, and then you start crawling.
Came in this world. Wearing diapers and leave it wearing diapers.
Yeah, bro.
I started human this life. World in a nutsack and I'm not going out in a nutsack. That's all I'm saying.
I heard somebody say we struggle from the womb to the tomb and I was like, oh, that's the most cold-blooded shit I ever heard in my life. Dude.
Yeah, that's some shit you like say to dude right before you cap him.
Yeah.
From the womb to the tomb. That's like some deep-ass Wu-Tang 90s shit. Yeah. ODB in the background. From the womb to the tomb. Like, what the fuck?
Womb to the tomb!
And everybody in the background's like, oh, shit, that's cold. Like, what?
Oh, my
god. Like,
that
is some, like, deep-rooted thug 90s shit right there.
As we're wrapping up.
Yeah, let's tie this boat to the dock.
As we're wrapping up, is there anything you want to shout out, let people know?
Plugs, dude.
Shout out my two dogs, Bella and Pezzo, holding down
the crib. I hope they're listening to the podcast.
You know Bella is Japanese for beautiful?
It's Italian for beautiful also.
Yep, same thing.
Nice.
No, not at all. It's actually...
One of the two. I knew it was
did you know
like
that Bella is Sicilian for elephant vagina?
No, it's not. No.
I know. I just came up with that. I was trying to come up with something funnier. It didn't work out.
It's a whale's vagina. Oh, man. It's not.
No,
it's a hair on an elephant's
San
ass.
Diego. Dude. No, but for real though, like any shout outs to like people that assist you guys, like people that are, especially in like COVID times, like who's helping out Twisted? Who's helping you out? Like where are you getting supplies from? Like who do you want to shout out? Like just anybody, you know?
Ooh. I don't know. I feel like I run the show myself sometimes. I feel like, yeah. Shout out to all my clients that are coming in. Paying
yeah,
there you go.
For sure. Don't stop that. Everybody keep
support your local strippers.
Oh, I don't know about that.
100%.
But anyways, again, you can find Cody on Instagram at @lope_originals.
Yes, sir.
LOPE_originals.
Okay.
And
is Evil Twins Tattoo Studio.
Yeah, Evil Twins is dope. We're gonna have Linda on sometime.
Are you, how do I buy your legitimately buy one of your rugs or how do I put in an order for like some I got some ones I want you to paint up?
Through
like,
Instagram. Yep. Instagram
just
Messenger.
Directly hit you.
We're
up.
kinda working on a website now, but it's in the making. So
Okay.
Hopefully we'll have you back on here in a couple months.
All right. So message you for the rugs and
anything you want done, we'll make it happen for you.
Tattoos or whatever, just hit him up on
and
on
his OnlyFans, Tat Daddies.
Yeah,
OnlyFans. Yeah.
I'm actually his first and only subscriber. So I hope you guys won't leave me hanging out in the wind. But thanks for coming out, man. We really appreciate
it. It's been a blast, man.
And again, this is the Days Grim. I am Brian.
I'm Thomas.
I'm Corey the Wombat.
And thank you for joining us, Mr. Thurman.
All right, I appreciate it.
All right, Godspeed.
Hey guys, if you liked what you heard today, there will be a new episode next Tuesday, as well as every Tuesday at 6 a.m. So hit that subscribe button and let your phone do all the work for you.